In times of challenge, pain, fear, even in thanks that comes from joy, we seek wisdom and direction through prayer. For most, the words and feelings expressed in prayer come easily, along with an honesty and understanding about oneself. For others, especially those whose faith is, let's say, in its growing stage, prayer creates questions. What do I say? How do I say it? Are there wrong things to say in prayer? My next guest shares her spiritual journey, brought about by various circumstances in her life, to help even the most faithful grow in understanding about the healing and strength that prayer does always provide. The key word is, of course, as always. Her book is Miraculous Silence, A Journey of Illumination and Healing Through Prayer. And we say good morning to Mitra Rabar. Good morning, Mitra.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you so much, and good morning to all the listeners.
And Mitra's website, voiceofmitra, MITRA.com. It's also where you can learn more about Miraculous Silence, and more importantly, after you learn about it, get a copy of it. Just as a starting foundation, Mitra, define prayer.
Prayer is being in communion with God. Doesn't need to be spoken words. It's just the feeling that is between you and God, or you wish to call it source, nature, whatever you wish to call it. That's really ultimately what prayer is. It's that connection.
In regards to prayer, and this is something a lot of people hear of the idea of prayer groups, and this is maybe one of the points of confusion for people, because if you look at the New Testament, I'll just paraphrase here, Jesus basically says that praying among others, he almost equates it with boasting and hypocrisy, that it's important more so to pray on your own as a one-on-one relationship. Is that a correct interpretation, or is even among others that one-to-one still engaged there?
I'm not sure that's the exact correct interpretation, because I know that in all of the different faith traditions, there are communal prayers, and where we pray for the healing of the world, where we pray for someone who's in need. So I don't think Jesus meant it in that way, that, you know, when you pray among others, it's this, it comes from this ego place. I think it depends really, again, the intention of prayer. To me, that, and Gandhi said that it's the intention of prayer. When you pray in a group, you really are praying for something much greater than yourself. So out goes the ego and in comes the compassion. When you're praying on your own, it's about you and God, and just that singular energy, your relationship, and whoever and whatever you wish to pray for is up to you. Again, I think prayer should not be, like Khalil Gibran says, in times of distress, but also in times of joy. We should always turn, I believe, to God.
I was just going to bring that point up. We're talking about Mitra Rabar, her book, Miraculous Silence, A Journey to Illumination Healing Through Prayer. VoiceOfMitra.com is her website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas, because God, or whatever spiritual higher source or guide or teacher that you wish, based upon your individual faith, and, you know, different tracks of the same station, a lot, most people say, whatever the higher source is looked upon in a almost parallel earthly manner as a parent. So, you know, thinking of it that way, you go to your parent when you have a problem, and whether it be being bullied at school or need for money if you get older. But when you, and parent is always understanding, helping as best they can whenever they can, but certainly a parent is overjoyed when you come to them and say, I won the football game, or I achieved a goal that I was looking to do, or your grandson is now free of the disease. Same thing with God. If you go to God with your challenges, your difficulties, your sadness, obviously healing and strength is coming through prayer, but certainly God the Father will be overjoyed when you're overjoyed.
Exactly. And, you know, when you do it this way, prayer, if you do it daily, Chris, it becomes part of your life, not something that you do once in a while, once a week when you go to a temple or church or wherever you go to, but it becomes a part of your life like anything else that you do. So you will miss it when you don't do it. You will yearn for it when you don't do it. I always say we are always yearning and God is always waiting. There is no right moment. Every moment is right. Every place is right.
Your book features prayers for a variety of needs, of times of celebration, times of challenge, worshiping of God for clarity, for to release fear, accepting the aging of a parent, for loss, for success, for surgery, and the list goes on for there, for gains, for eliminations, for seasons, for times of celebration. The prayers featured in the Miraculous Silence, are they meant for memorization? Or, as I alluded to in the introduction, one of the questions someone has is, oh, what do I say? How do I say it? Once someone practices and meditates on one of the specific prayers in Miraculous Silence, is that a tool by which they'll gain the ability to see within themselves, to find their own words for the prayer for that specific need or occasion?
Those are really great questions, and I think all of them. I think this book can be looked upon as the beginning of someone who is trying to develop their meditation techniques and or doing mantras and having all those tools and all those stones or whatever they need. And these prayers can be done in different ways. Once you, for example, choose one of the prayers, you can do it every day, recite it every day, or in the midst of it while you're doing it, you can find your own words, you can go deeper. And I think that's the beauty and the depth of prayer, is these prayers are given for you to start, for you to continue. And then where it takes you, this journey, is going to be very much based on you and the prayer. I will tell you, like last night at midnight, I had a yearning to come and read one of the devotional prayers. I just really missed it, and I just wanted to read that prayer. And that's all I wanted to read, just the words of that prayer. And then there'll be other times I'll take prayer and it'll take me on another journey and I'll find other words. So I think it can go so many ways, Chris.
So in a way, in prayer, with the practice and the growth of the understanding and the insight of it, you don't only find God, you can find yourself.
Exactly. You find yourself, and you hear what I say in the book, the whisper of your soul, because we carry so much of shame and guilt and anger and all that stuff, and prayer helps us to get to the seed, to see the beauty and brilliance that's been made by our Maker, our eternal parent. And once we see that, then we even deeper connect to God. So it's between us and us and us and God, really. That's what prayer is.
Time with Mitra Rabar, Miraculous Silence, A Journey to Illumination and Healing Through Prayer, voiceofmitra.com is her website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Two misconceptions, certainly those who are new to faith in search of their faith make, I believe at least, is prayer isn't necessarily always going to be a shopping list or a wish list, and they make the mistake or misunderstanding of putting God on their timetable, when isn't it more so that we are on God's timetable?
Yes, exactly. And you know, the wish list is you said at the beginning. It's like, you know, when you have like a parent, you say, "Okay, this is what I want." Okay, that's all right, but that's not really the relationship we have or should have with God. The relationship should be a child who turns to the parent for their love, for compassion, to become more compassionate, more loving, to become more a person of faith, more a person of vulnerability and strength. Because we are from the light, and we are therefore light. So we bring forth this energy then into our world. So the wish list to me is, you know, that's something humans do. We do it, but there's so much more beauty when we take ourselves out of the equation and we just want to be with God. We just want the depth of that relationship, because that's the most beautiful relationship I believe we can have in this world. It's one that never ends. It's from beginning to always.
Really is a special book, what Mitra had come up with Miraculous Silence, A Journey to Elimination and Healing Through Prayer, along with the concept of mantras, the influence healing of stones, which people dismiss as quote-unquote New Age, but if you want to turn back the clock in societal history, Native American would be a certain realm you might want to study in addition to, where Mitra writes about stones and miraculous silence. And it becomes a point, too, where when you are in prayer and you find yourself not having the words, she also helps you understand, well, maybe that's the time that you're supposed to be listening to yourself as well as to God. For you who are new to faith and trying to find your way to where you need to be or where you're supposed to be, her guidance through the prayers featured in Miraculous Silence provide you with a foundation to stand strong as you seek your foundation, that is, your newfound faith. And at all points between, as I said into the introduction, Mitra makes you wiser about the wisdom that's available through prayer. It's called Miraculous Silence, A Journey to Illumination and Healing Through Prayer. You can learn more about the life, the work of Mitra, her philosophy, and, of course, get a copy of Miraculous Silence through her website, voiceofmitra.com. And Mitra, anyone who can bring calm and bring people to a more peaceful existence in certainly the times that we live in today, that is something that is to be embraced and to be appreciated. We do both to you, and thank you for doing that.
Thank you. You're welcome. It's just part of our journey. I think it's just our responsibility, but I appreciate it. Thank you. This is my 7 years of life's work in this book, and I embrace it myself every day, and I think once you read this book, you will not only embrace it, it will change how you look at life and how you live your life, because when you have devotion being part of your life, it changes every facet of your life, physically, emotionally, your relationships, how you look at your career, everything becomes so much more accepting. You find so much more forgiveness. You honor yourself so much more. And I think this is really at its core what Miraculous Silence does. It helps you honor yourself, and that sacred space between you and God is something that you will embrace more and more.